We are a blessed people this morning. We serve a God and a Master who has a vested interest in each one of you today. He paid a great price for my salvation and for you. And He has called us each one by name. And He wants to meet you in peace. I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to be a dependable servant. I want to see Him in peace. I don't want to let Him down. He hasn't let me down. He has not let you down. He has made and afforded every opportunity for you. And I want to do my part this morning. I would like to look in Joshua. Have a little message this morning. In the first chapter of Joshua, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go after this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Isn't that a wonderful passage? We have just read a moving and a powerful account of when the Lord came to Joshua after Moses had died. I don't know what was in Joshua's mind. I don't know what the people thought. I don't know where their heart was. I don't know if they despaired. But the Lord came to Joshua and He said, and allow me just a little latitude, "Joshua, Moses, my servant, the one that you all have followed, he's gone now. But now, Joshua, I want you to get up. It's your turn. You arise. I'm giving you now the baton of responsibility. And I want you to get up. And I want you to go forward. And I want you to lead this people into the land which I have promised to them. I'm going to be good on my word. I'm not going to go back on my promise. And just because Moses is gone, it doesn't mean that we all now have to throw up our hands and say, well, what are we going to do now? Because now, Joshua, it's your turn. Whereas in the past, you have followed. And whereas in the past, you looked to those that were before you, and you took direction and leadership from them, Joshua, it is now your turn, and I want you to arise, and I want you to lead this people into the land which I promised." And He told them how to do it. He said, "Observe everything that I taught you. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left." And you know what that means? He needs to know what the Lord gave direction on. That means it takes some desire and some time and some interest. Well, what does the Lord want of me? What is the Lord telling me? What is His desire? Where is it that He wants us to go? How does He want us to fight our battles? And the Lord told him, He said, I want you to get up. It's your turn. I want you to arise, and I want to make a promise to you. If you will lead in a way that is consistent with My Word, and you don't veer to the right, and you don't listen to the clamoring of the people that say, oh, Joshua, why is that so necessary? We can still do it this way. The Lord ought to be okay with that. The Lord said, Joshua, stay right down the middle. Understand what My Word was. Don't go to the left. Don't listen to that. Stay true. Provide direction. Be willing to stand alone if you need to stand alone. Be willing to look to Me for guidance. Keep your eyes on the end goal and lead the people with strength. Amen. And that's my little message to you this morning. It's our turn now. It's your turn. This is our leg. The Lord is coming to us now and He's saying, arise. You lead now. It's your turn. The heroes of faith, they're gone now in the past. They don't live here anymore. They've passed on. They've done their duty. Abraham is gone. Moses is gone. Joshua is gone. They have done things for us that have encouraged us that we look to and we find strength in. We can look back and we don't have to look back as far as Peter and the disciples and all of those of old. I can look back and both of my grandpas, they're gone now. They did their work. They're not here anymore. They've made it. But we're here. And the Lord has a responsibility for us. He has a responsibility for you. It's your turn now. Have you ever thought, has it ever struck you that in all of the years that this world has been here, the thousands of years, and the millions of people, billions of people that have lived on the face of the earth for years and years and years, you weren't even a gleam in your mother's eye because your mother wasn't even born. And the world went on. And people had their place. And year after year after year after year passed. And we were not even here. What? Why are we here today? It's our turn now. God has a place for you. You mean something. You didn't just show up just because by chance and here you are and oh my goodness, I guess I get to enjoy what all these people have enjoyed for thousands of years in experience. I wonder how that came to be. I want to tell you how it came to be. Because the Lord has a place for us. He loves you. He's called after you. He knows you by name. He died on the cross for you. And there is a plan for you and for me. And it's our turn now. And He's coming to us today. And He's saying, arise now. It's your turn. You take the gospel message. You take the plan. You lead the people. And don't go to the right. And don't go to the left. And He promised him, He said, whithersoever you go, you'll have good success. And you know what? He kept His word. They defeated giants. The walls crumbled around them that they never would have been able to defeat before. Not in their strength. It's because they went in the strength of the Lord. And they did just exactly. Well, that's when the Lord blessed them. We have accounts when they didn't do just exactly what the Lord said. And things didn't go well. But when they did, the Lord blessed and He was there. And so the Lord is telling us, be of good courage. I'll prosper you. Arise. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be spiritually lazy. Don't be lackadaisical in your Christian life. Get up now. It's your turn. Dominate the obstacles. Move up. Use your talents. Use your resources. Work together. We heard about that the other night. The Lord has a place for us. Today is our day. This is your leg. It's my leg. Have you ever watched a 4x400 or 4x100 race? They work together and they're in it. You have a baton and everybody gets in their place. There's a first person and a second and a third and a fourth. And each place is important. And each place is critical for the race to be run. And the first person that gets the baton, the guy says, go, and they begin to run with everything they have to make progress. And the rest of the people are on the track waiting for their turn. Because it's going to come. And they watch the person that's running, giving it everything they have. And when they get closer to them, they put out their hand and they start running in anticipation because it's getting ready to be their turn. And when they get that baton in their hand, then all eyes go to them and it's their responsibility then to the rest of the team. It's their responsibility now to get to the end goal in victory, to give it everything they have. And it's a beautiful thing to watch for people that give it everything and they have a smooth handoff and they don't bicker. They don't have time to bicker with, well, you didn't hand it off to me right. And if you would have led just a little bit better, we could have done better. They don't have time for that. That's how you lose races. Don't criticize. Move up. Take what's been given you. I can run a race and waste the race away by looking around saying all the things that are wrong about the race and the responsibility that I find myself in. If you want to lose the race, you can do that. If you want to let the rest of the team down, have after it. I don't plan on letting down. I don't want you to let down. I remember watching a race when I was in grade school. We had some grade school people get together and we're running these little relay races, and it made such an impression on my mind. I remember a boy that ran the second or the third leg. I think it was the second. And he wasn't wearing shoes fit to race in. And I remember him running, and then he stopped, and he bent down and started messing with his shoelaces. And all the while, the runners were going past, and I remember just as a little guy watching that, and I was embarrassed for him, and I felt sorry for his team, and how could he do that? I don't want to do that. I don't want to get so distracted with, and I want to prepare. I want to prepare to lead. I want to know what I need to do to lead effectively. I want to have my ear open to the Lord so that when He comes and says, Rod, I have somewhat to say to you. I want to say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. What do you have to say? Because I'm going to have to go out there now and I'm going to be a leader. It's my turn. It's my responsibility. The baton is going to be passed to me. And when it comes in my hands, I want to run for all that I'm worth. I want to arise. I want to be ready. I want to be focused on what's at hand. I don't want to be walking around thinking about what's going on over there and this team over there. They look like, I like the way they're dressed better. It looks like they could run better if we would do that. And all the while, the race is going on and I'm just so distracted with all these other things and pretty soon think, well, if I had different gear, I could probably do better. And since I don't have it, well, what's the use? Listen, the Lord is our captain. He's the one that'll see us through. He'll see you through. No matter what state you're in, He'll take what you give Him. If you give Him everything, give Him your loaves and your fishes. You may look at it and think, well, it's not enough to do anything. You give it to the Lord. You arise. You be willing to say, Lord, here it is. I give myself to you. I don't understand how it might work out for everything. Lord, you look at my life and you look at my past and you look at what little talents I think I may have, but here it is, Lord. And the Lord's saying, that's exactly what I wanted. You give yourself to me and now your responsibility will be, arise. Fulfill the commission of Christ. Go out into the world and preach the gospel. People say, oh my, I don't want to do that. And I've been encouraged many times. My family's heard me say this. I saw a little saying one time. It said, preach the word always. And when necessary, use words. You can live a life for the Lord. You can preach the gospel. You can carry your responsibility, your baton. You can arise. You can go forth. And you can make a difference. Let it be serious to you. Be willing to be an ambassador for the Lord. Be willing to say, here am I. Lord, I'll go. Don't be, as we read the other day, or we referred to it, as the man that was a hearer, but he wasn't a doer. Listen to what it said. In James, the first chapter of James, he said, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, we're all here this morning, you're all listening, I hope, you're all a hearer of the word, so we all fill that category so far. But it said, it went on to say, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. You can deceive yourself if you're not a doer. If you don't arise, if you don't get up, if you don't say, Lord, here am I, send me. We can dress the dress. We can do what we need to do on the outward. We can go out on the track. We can stand out there. But if you're not willing to accept the baton that is passed to you, it won't do you any good. And there is a baton for every one of you. The Lord has a baton of responsibility that has your name engraved on it. And He wants you to pick it up. And He'll help you run successfully. Don't be a hearer of the word and not a doer. He's like a man which beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, so he goes and he comes and he sees who he is. And maybe he hears the word and feels a responsibility and feels the Lord touch his heart. Say, Brother Purvis, you have a responsibility. He says, Lord, yes, I realize that. Lord, I do have a responsibility. But then, if you go out those back doors, listen to what it said, for he beholdeth himself, gains some recognition and some knowledge, but then he goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Forgot all about his responsibility. Got so caught up and carried away with everything else that was going around him. The concession stands, the music, the friends, the walking around and the association and just the whole experience of the race. That you forgot that I have a place in this. There's a baton that's supposed to be passed off to me. I can know, I can teach, I can know, I can know how to tell other people what they need to do, but if I'm not in my place, if I'm not willing to run, then I let people down. I let myself down. I let the Lord down. I let my children down. I let my grandchildren down. Do you know how fast this can be lost in just a generation? If I don't teach my children the truth, I might have been taught it. I might have a really good head knowledge of it. But if I don't take it so to heart that it is important enough for me to spend time if possible, every day with my children and my wife, my family. If it's not important enough for me to sit down with them and read the Word and talk about it and talk about the importance and reinforce it. But I might have it in my own life, or I might have it in my own mind. It only takes about 1-2 generations. If I don't fulfill my responsibility and carry on, then my children, they have their children, and they start growing up, and then we find ourselves in a position and we look at our grandchildren and say, what happened? How did this happen? How did this come about? I know everybody makes their own decisions. In the end, my children are going to make their decisions. And I can be the best father in the world. In the end, Dad tells us you can't raise Christians. You can't. You can teach them. You can be the best that you can be. But in the end, everyone's going to make their own response, their own decision. But I want to say this. We have a responsibility. And there are many lost in the world today because there were parents that were not willing to take the time, that didn't feel the responsibility enough, did not feel a sense of urgency in the limited time that we have to express the importance to those around us. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's our children. Maybe it's your grandchildren. Maybe it's your co-workers that you work with at work. There's a window of opportunity there. The Lord may have passed you a baton and said, this person needs some help. You have a responsibility. I want to be faithful to that. Our lives are at stake. Our children's lives are at stake. And the Lord's counting on us. And I want to encourage you this morning, be as the eunuch. You remember when the Lord... Be as Philip. I'll start with Philip. You remember when the Lord came to Philip and He said, hey, Philip, I want you to go to this place over here, and it's a desert place. I want you to go there. I want you to arise. And I want you to go. Philip could have said, Lord, it's a desert out there. There isn't anything out there for me to do. I'm better off where I am. I'm better off just fulfilling my little place right here. And the Lord said, Philip, arise. I want you to go into a desert place. Well, what possible good can I do in a desert place? When you go in the name of the Lord, there's a lot of good that can be accomplished. And so Philip got up. And he went to the desert place, and lo and behold, there was a man in his chariot reading the Bible and not understanding what he was reading, but wanting to. And Philip said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm reading the Bible here. And he said, well, what are you reading? Well, I'm reading where it said here that... And he read, I think it was out of Isaiah maybe. And Philip took the opportunity and began to expound the Word of the Lord to him. The baton was handed to him, and the Lord said, Philip, it's your turn right now. Don't let me down. And he began to expound the wonderful news. And the eunuch took it, and he said, and then began going along, and he saw water, and he had heard about baptism. And he saw that, and he connected the dots. Did we just read that the Lord wants us to be baptized? Well, there's water. He said, what does hinder me? What? And you know what I think he really meant when he said that? This is my thinking. I think he meant, what is worth hindering me? Given the value of what I just read and what I've heard and what's burning down inside my heart right now, what is worth hindering me of getting out of this chariot and being baptized because the Lord said so? Do you know that there was a potential hindrance? the Lord helped me just see this while I was preaching in Gina the other day. He was in a chariot that almost sounded like was moving. That could have been a hindrance. You know what he had to do? The Scripture tells us he had to command his chariot to stand still. Be willing to command your chariot to stand still. Because each of us have a chariot called self. And we all have reins. And we all have places to go. People to see. Things to do. Things that interest us. And the Lord's up there beside us saying, Rod, this right over here, this would be good for you. And I'm going along saying, yeah, boy, that's a wonderful thought. I appreciate that thought. That's good. Maybe I can pass that on to somebody sometime. The Lord's saying, Rod, this is good for you. Why don't you stop your chariot for a minute? Sometimes we have to be willing to stop what we're doing. Stop your chariot. Pull the reins in on yourself a little bit. And stop long enough to ask the Lord, Lord, as Paul did. The Lord stopped him, didn't he? He stopped his chariot right there in the middle of the road. And he got him to the place where Paul started talking to the Lord, and it was almost like he didn't even know who he called him Lord. I don't know if he recognized him completely for what he was at that point, but he called him Lord, and he said, well, Lord, what would you have me to do? The Lord wants us to be willing to pull the reins in, stop our chariot, and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Help me, Lord, to know what you want me to do. I believe it's why the Lord, in the 21st chapter of Luke, 34th verse, I think, He said, and take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to stand before the Son of Man and to escape all of these things that shall come to pass. Take heed unto yourselves lest at any time ye become overcharged. Be willing to pull in the reins on your chariots and say, Lord, am I becoming overcharged with the things I want? Am I becoming overcharged with the direction that I wanted to go? And Lord, I was trying to get to point B over there, and I keep feeling this little nudge and a quiet, still, small voice that says, wait, I have something for you over here. Would you take a detour? And may God help us to be willing to command our chariot to stand still. And to get low before the Lord as Paul and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then arise and take the responsibility that God has given you. Will it always be easy? No. It won't always be easy. There are people ahead of us that are saying, come on, Rod. Come on over here. Bring your chariot over here. We have plans, and it has to happen at this time, and it's on Friday night, and it's on Saturday night, and, well, I know it's on Sunday morning sometimes, and come on over here. And we have to take heed unto ourselves, lest we become overcharged with what we got in our mind that we wanted to do and thought was so important. And listen to that still, small voice, where the Lord comes down and He says, Rod, I have something for you. And I have something for others that I want to come through you. It is your place. It's your role. It's your time. It's your leg of the race. It won't always be easy. But be willing be willing to say, yes, Lord. Amen. Take courage this morning. Be steadfast. Amen. Be unmovable. Your work is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord has called you. He's not coming back for a collective group of people. He's coming back to judge individuals. And He has individual works. And you're not lost in the crowd. Regardless of where you are, of what you feel about your abilities, give your talent. Whatever it is, give it to Him. Listen to Him. Have a willing heart. If ye be willing and obedient. It didn't say, if ye be willing, obedient, have many talents, lots of resources, much to offer. That's not what He said. He said, if you will be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. And when you eat the good of the land, guess who benefits? Not just you, but your children, your neighbors, your church family. And you begin to fulfill the responsibility that God gave us as ambassadors to take the gospel to the world. He has a place for all of us. Then I heard a voice say, whom shall I send? And who will go for me? Then said I, send me. Let's arise and be about our Father's business. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.